As the protein industry rapidly changes, it appears so too may the contents of our fridges. With red meat out of the way, what's going to be replacing it? Well, I'm joined now by Professor Michelle Colgrave, who's a researcher at the CSIRO, to find out more. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
So why are people eating less red meat?
So people are still eating red meat, but they're really adapting their diets a little bit. There's many drivers for this. Some of it may be around people's concern about the impact of their diet on the planet. Some people have concerns over animal welfare. Others are just concerned about their own personal health, and they believe that by having a more diverse diet, then that will be better for their own health as well as the health of the planet. So there's many, many reasons why people are taking what we call a flexitarian or reducitarian lifestyle and dietary change. We're seeing some changing dynamics.
Oh my God, I love all the names that people come up with for, like, the Terrians, all the...
Yes.
I find that so funny. So what alternatives are available now and what might be coming in the future?
Yeah, so we have right now, I guess, if you go to the retail, you'll see that there's a whole array of different proteins that are on offer. So these are often plant-based, and so we have many products now that you can get, that whether they be what came first, which was essentially the burgers and the sausages, and now you're seeing things like the type of chicken-style products, so things like a schnitzel, and a whole array of products are starting to appear on our shelves. And these are based on mostly on pulses or legumes, things like chickpeas and soybeans and lupins and a whole array of different plant-based sources. So that's kind of what's happening right now, and that's continuing to grow, just like we've seen, I guess, in the milk markets or the alternative dairy sector, where we've got, you go to your cafe and you've got this assortment of different
Milks or nut juice.
Yeah, exactly, exactly right. So you've got all of these choices now. They're abundant. But then as we move forward, there's going to be a whole array of different options for us. So they may be things that are derived from insects, for instance, that could be used to fortify or enrich a food. You may not eat the insect as whole as, the main part of your meal. But you might be having a bread that's been enriched with insect protein. So that protein is, insects are really protein rich. They also contain a whole heap of other vitamins and minerals that are really good for our nutrition. And they can be grown or cultivated on food waste. So it brings a really nice circular story. But if insects aren't for you and they're not for everyone.
I was about to say bug bread. I feel like that's going to be a hard sell, but.
Well, to be honest, it's kind of what we have now. Like, to think that there's not insects within our silos and
in
the grain, it's just that we're actually intentionally doing it now instead of it being there just as part of, the natural food process. There's other technologies that are coming to bear, and these are not exactly new technologies. Things like fermentation. So when you think fermentation, you'd probably think cheese, or you might think beer, you might even think kombucha. But these technologies like fermentation have the ability to deliver new proteins, but do it in a way that's essentially a brewery rather than our current food systems. So you can think less land, controlling the water and other inputs into these systems, but using the power of microbes or in some cases it's bacteria, but we're using them not in the sense that we have around bacteria being perhaps bad, but using them for good. So to make huge amounts of protein, and we can do it from fungi as well or mushrooms, to produce new protein.
Do you kind of, you're obviously in the scientific research team, does the marketing team ever come to you and go, guys, we've gone too far, or guys, we're on a winner?
Well, I think that there's certainly some of these protein sources that will really need a consumer education piece around, because people won't necessarily understand why we would want to do this. And so we've got to talk about the benefits in terms of whether it's that environmental point or the health and nutrition standpoint. Because many of these sources not only have protein, but they have fibre that's good for your gut health. And if you've got a really healthy microbiome, then you're going to lower your chance of things like cancer and so forth. So, you know, it's really about understanding why we would make these choices and being able to articulate that to the consumers.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, and I can imagine you must have such an interesting job there, looking at all the different aspects, because there are probably so many options of different, you know, insects, edible insects, or bacterias, or that it's then about refining which one is the most effective that's widely distributed.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got, I guess, the one thing we have, especially in Australia, is this abundance of, like, biodiversity. And we can look at things like we have fungal collections or algal collections. These are, you know, resources that we can tap into to not only look for what contains a lot of protein, but all of the other bioactives that can be implemented in food, things that can help by reducing your cholesterol or improving your cardiovascular health. And so we've got this opportunity to create new foods of the future that really are healthier and, you know, will support our population as we move forward.
Oh my gosh, Professor Michelle Colgrave, I could speak to you all morning, but we have run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the edible insects.
All right, thank you very much for having me.
That was Professor Michelle Colgrave talking to us about alternatives in the protein industry.